Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
God bless you. Welcome this morning. I'm going to talk to my little courageous ones today. We're taking a hint from last week. If you were with us last week, we talked about the Apostle Paul. And we went through all of the difficulties in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you remember last week, he had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. Paul went through every conceivable setback, but he was a courageous man. And he stood his ground. And he would get up when he was knocked down, and he would move forward, because courage is not action in the absence of fear. It's action in the presence of fear. So we're going to talk about courage this morning. I heard the story of the woman that came into the dentist on vacation. She said, look, I have to have a tooth out. I'm on a time limit here. I don't want Novocaine. I'm fine. We're in a rush. And the dentist said, ma'am, you're very courageous. Show me the tooth. And she said, honey, show the man your tooth. Courage. It is so important today. My assignment is called Be of Good Courage. Be of good courage. But it's hard to be courageous unless you've had some mentoring and you've been around a courageous person. You know, we mentioned a few weeks ago that between teaching and instruction, there's always a scar. All right? A 15-year-old can teach, you know, turn the book to page 3 and we are going. But between teaching and instruction, there's always a scar. To instruct implies the entirety of your life and the empathy you've gained through all the difficulties you've survived. And that instruction is so valuable in the kingdom. I always say sympathy is cheap. Empathy is expensive, right? Because unless you've been through childbirth, you can't empathize with a woman who's about to have a child. Unless you've been through setbacks, you cannot truly empathize. You know, when someone's just sort of sympathizing, oh, poor you, oh, I'm so sorry. Versus empathy, you can see it in the eyes. Courageous souls are empathetic souls. So we're going to look at courage, and the only way I know to do it is to look at three examples of courage. But before we do, I want to quote from the book of Joshua, and I want to take you to put some flesh and blood on a very interesting situation. Remember Moses, the great lawgiver? Well, he's dead, and Joshua has been living in his shadow. Have you ever been living in the shadow of a great person or a great ministry or someone who's extraordinarily gifted or talented, and then all of a sudden they're gone and the big tree has fallen and now all the sun falls upon you? Joshua had been serving Moses for years, but he was nervous because Moses is dead. And God comes to him and says, Joshua, Moses is dead. Joshua knew that. But sometimes we need to rehear the fact. I'm talking to some very wonderfully courageous people. Now, you don't think you're courageous right now, but in a minute I'm going to show you that David's mighty men we're going to look at, three of them today, were not born heroes. They were made to be heroes. Moses has been the greatest hero in the history of Scripture, but God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, Moses is dead. He's dead. It's your time. And Moses, as great a leader as he was, could only lead in circles. You ever notice? As great as he was, he could only lead the people of God in circularity. And Joshua was the one that was called to lead them in a straight line of conquest. So God told him 4 times. Now, I'm glad he needed it 4 times. Be of good courage. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, he was told, be of good courage. The people are watching. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. The first time he says, be encouraged, he says, Joshua, be encouraged, because there's a lot of people watching you. And by the way, if you ever doubt there's a lot of people watching you, just mess up and you'll find out real quick. And they're not only watching you, but they're all PhD experts in sin, Christianity, and the history of theology. Joshua is nervous. He's been preparing his whole life for this, but he finally gets the word Moses is dead, and God tells him that a few times to prepare him to realize it's his hour. And loved one, it's your hour. Be courageous because the people are watching you. Secondly, God says, be courageous. You are watching you. Joshua 1, 7 and 8, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the left or the right that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God says, Joshua, honey, everybody's watching you. And you know what? You're watching you. We need to look in the mirror and see ourselves as courageous people in the work of God. The people are watching, you are watching, and the third time, he says, be courageous, God is watching. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Even God has a stake in us being courageous during this time. But courage, again, as I said, is not action in the absence of fear. It's action in the presence of fear. Courageous people need modeling. So many of you are so courageous and you don't even realize. Sometimes it's courage just to get out of the bed in the morning. Sometimes it just takes the apex of courage seen in Joshua for you to get up and to face another day by the grace of God. But he says, next, fourth, finally, be courageous. Your enemies are watching. Joshua 1:18. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous because people are watching. You are watching. God is watching and the enemy is watching. You have an audience. Hebrews 12 says there's a great cloud of witnesses of all the men, women, boys, and girls that have gone before us who are the seated audience watching our lives. We need to be courageous, especially in this time. Be of good courage. Whenever Jesus appeared to his disciples, he said, fear not, be of good courage. And I want to tell all of you, this is not a time for doomsday naysayers. Don't frighten the bride of Christ. This is not a time to frighten the bride of Christ. This is a time to fortify her strength as God does with Joshua. And he says, be strong, be of good courage. Well, we're never going to know what strength and good courage looks like unless we have examples. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about some of my favorite people in the history of the Bible. And we're going to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And we're going to find out King David has the most chapters of anyone written about him in Scripture. And he has 66 full chapters written about him. Hold on one second. I got to get my notes that I threw on the ground. I got to mull through them while you just talk amongst yourselves. There we go. Hello. I'm back. David has 66 chapters written about him, 59 references in the New Testament. So if you want to know how important David was, God took 66 chapters to tell out his story. David started as a shepherd boy, and he was the eighth son. He was considered the small and insignificant son of Jesse, his father. And he was the shepherd of the sheep, and he learned in loneliness how to trust God. And God, when he wanted a king, looked at the heart of this young boy, and he said, that man has a heart like mine. He's faithful. He's gracious. He's courageous. And so he took that little boy and he raised him up. And later in David's life, Saul is pursuing him for 16 years. And he's in a cave called the Cave of Adullam. And the Bible says that the Cave of Adullam, God sent 400 of the ragtag bunch of fugitives, anyone that was distressed, discontented, and in debt, the Bible says. The dregs of society come to him in the Cave of Adullam. David himself is being rejected, and in his rejection, God sends the worst group of folk that you could ever have. All the rejects of the world come to him and say, we be with David. Oh, thanks. You know, let's have a deacon's meeting and see if these people can function properly. Do you know sometimes, loved one, as in all of our cases, we come as nobodies to God. Because I want you to see, mighty men are not born, they're made. Mighty women are not born, they're made. And they go to the cave of Adullam, and just living around David and being mentored by David, the Bible says they are shaped into this core of mighty men. There are 37 of them in all. You can read 2 Samuel chapter 23, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and you'll see a horde of names, strangest names you've ever read in a genealogy. But they were all men that had been shaped by David's example, and all they had in common is that they had been with David. And of all the mighty men, there are three who are the crown choice of his men. And I want to look at three portraits of courage right now. The first warrior of David, called the mighty man, was Adino the Esnite. I'm sure you were reading about Adino this morning. These be the names of the mighty men. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Adino means his adorned one. And Adino the Esnite is the man that fought against insurmountable odds. The Bible says he killed 800 of the enemy with his spear in one encounter. Adino the Esnite. He was God's adorned one. And it's interesting because God knew Adino would stand no matter what. God knew. And David appointed this man to stand at his post of duty in utter courageous service because David already knew the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that this man had. He knew he would never run in the face of the enemy. He knew he would never back down in any context, at any time. And Adino stood. Now, I rarely have an opportunity to use high-end graphics in these ministry presentations, but I must take this opportunity to bring my spear of destiny. Now we're talking about... Everybody loves this here. This is high-end stuff. This is an exact duplicate of the spear of destiny, but just imagine it's on a staff. Adino has one spear, and he takes the spear, and he holds this mighty spear, and he kills 800 with it. And you say, Craig, well, that sounds like one of the fable stories of the Bible. No. Remember Shamgar in Judges chapter 3? There was a man named Shamgar, and he killed 600 with an ox goad, Judges 3:31. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. And remember in Judges 15:15, Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. It says, finding the fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and he struck down 1,000 men. Loved one, God, the question I always used to mention on Religion Online, I always used to say, if there's a God to act, there can be acts of God. If there's a God to act, there can be acts of God. Now, if there's no God to act, there can't be acts of God. If there's no God beyond the world, there are no moral absolutes within the world. But if there's a God to act, which is the only thing we need to establish, that God exists, if God exists, miracles are possible. And we don't need to write these things off as fables or enlarged myths that over time developed a sense. No. God, who created heaven and earth, is able to intervene in his created universe, and he can do whatever he wants, and he can use whomever he chooses. And so we see there's a biblical history for amazing feats to be done, and with the power of God in Adino the Esnite, we see a man who fought in spite of immeasurable odds. Isn't it something? He was going to do the right thing, whatever the odds were. Whatever the odds. So I want to encourage you today. The odds may be against you, but you can be courageous. Remember back in the Judges chapter 6, remember Gideon? Remember? He had 32,000 of the children of Israel against 135,000 of the Midianites. All right, already it was 4-1 against them. Then God said, you have too many by which you can be saved, because then you may say, I did this. So tell those afraid to leave. 22,000 leave. Now the odds are 13-1 against the children of Israel. And then God weans it down further. He said, you have yet too many to win. And Gideon is starting to have a corona symptoms. You know, this guy's thinking, we can't, 300. It goes down to 300. Now the odds are 450-1 against Gideon and his people winning. loved one, we need to do the right thing even when the odds are squarely against us. Because you know what in the Bible? The odds are always against God's children. The odds are always against God's mighty men and mighty women. And the fact of the matter is, the only fact that matters is God. When you factor God in, it's a whole new story. And that spear he used to kill 800. And it says that he was so honored that he was the head of all these guys. Of the 37 mighty men, these are the top three. These are the creme de la creme. And they weren't born courageous. They were made courageous over time, watching David. Remember, David killed the lion, then he killed the bear, then he killed Goliath. And remember, when he came in with Saul, the women sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. They were following in the cave of Adullam a man who had killed tens of thousands. He was a man of courage. And you know, it's very important. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Don't be mentored by anybody that's going somewhere you don't want to go. Don't let people teach you and speak into your life that are less than courageous. You see, David shaped them. By just being around David, they became like David. And Adino the Eznite was appointed at his post. And if you would have asked him that white day, why are you fighting at your post? He would say, because my king put me here. That's why. Loved one, we don't need to know. We don't need to know why. We just need to do or die. We just need to say to the great king, set me anywhere. I don't care what the odds are. Notice it never entered this man's mind to step back. It never entered his mind to go anything but forward. Ever forward, always forward. Ever forward, always forward. And so Adino the Eznite by David, the scripture says some interesting things about it. 1 Chronicles 27 gives a list. And we find Adino was in charge of the first division of 24,000 men on duty for the first month of the year. He was a descendant of Perez of Judah. And the scripture says that David knew Adino was always ready and prepared. David knew Adino could handle any situation without being overwhelmed. And he knew Adino was always prepared to fight. And he knew Adino would never give up one stitch of ground. Die? Probably. These guys were a combination of Gladiator and Rambo and Schwarzenegger in the good days. Courage, loved one. And I would encourage you as we go through these stories from God's word, this is a time for us to be of good courage. Whatever's going on in the culture, we are not shaped by what is going on in the culture. We are men, women, boys, and girls who have our houses built on the rock, and the storm can come and it will not fall. It will not fall. And we need to look to Adino, the Eznite, and we need to realize he was the adorned one of God. God adored him, and David trusted him with his life. Oh, it's so beautiful when you see the fruit of your life, when your courage has spawned courageous men, women, boys, and girls. It's such a delicious thing. As I look at our church now, in the midst of this pandemic, our folk are responding with such grace, such maturity. And all of you, I give my love out today. Kim, hello. Maudette, hello. Marie, hello. Bun, hello. All of our babies watching. Old friends I haven't seen for years. Hello. Courageous men, women, boys, and girls. I'm so proud of you. So is the Lord. Adino the Eznite fought against immeasurable odds. Didn't matter what the odds were. God is the only factor. If there's a God to act, there can be acts of God. So just settle that. And did you notice? In the heat of the battle is when God comes through and they wrought a great victory. It's when everything, you're checking the odds and you're going, no, I wouldn't bet on that in Vegas. Well, you know what? When God's in it, bet his way. Because loved one, these courageous men were made by their relationship with David. David knew Adino could figure his way out of any situation. And he is the example of the fact that one man with God is a majority. One woman with God is a majority. That's what we need to hear. Be of good courage. Don't run and hide away like the disciples behind the door of fear and terror. That is not the Holy Spirit, loved one. As Churchill said, it's not the beginning of the end, it's the end of the beginning. Interpret this season correctly, or your God picture is off and you're misleading other Christians. This is a time for us to be cities sit on a hill that cannot be hid in calmness, safety, exuding the peace of God, exuding the mighty Adino anointing, saying, it doesn't matter what the odds are, God is on my side. God is with me. And if God is with me, who can be against me? And if God is against me, who can be for me? He's with you, beloved. And he's saying, be of good courage. So Adino the Esnite sort of zooms in the fact with his spear. Do you realize how rare it is that I could bring the Spear of Destiny and my Julius Caesar Gladius today? So we're going to move on to the Gladius now. Mighty man number two after Adino the Esnite is a wonderful guy. My favorite guy for naming your next child. Eleazar, son of Dodo the Ahohite. 2 Samuel 23:9, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines, then until his hand was weary and his hand clave to his sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned only after for the spoil. Eleazar, means the Lord has helped me, had a sword. And it was in the heat of battle that he was forged to become one with his sword. He was a man who fought in indefinable fatigue. Our second man of courage demonstrates that no matter how tired you are, no matter how sordid the grip on your sword, some of you have a sword, but you're not one with your sword. Some of you have gifts, talents, and abilities, but it's only in the heat of battle that you are forged to your gift, your talent, and your ability. It says after the battle, he had fought so faithfully, they had to pry his fingers off of his sword handle. This man, Eleazar, is an example of someone, again, another one of David's mighty men who would not turn and run. And by the way, he fought, but he fought in the field with his king. David was there. If two or more are gathered in my name. He grabbed his sword and he was set at his post of duty. And he teaches us that mighty men always put God first. That mighty men always obey their king, whatever the cost. And in the midst of the heat of the battle, he was made so one with his weapon that he wrought a great victory. Did you know when your king is standing with you, what a beautiful day to die. Do you see, loved one, as a Christian, you shouldn't be afraid of threats and you shouldn't be afraid of death, because death has no sting to those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And once you can't be bought and once you can't fear death, what can anyone do to you? Eleazar would not let go of his sword and he would not give an inch to the enemy. See, the Philistines were overwhelming the country. And all Eleazar knew is my king has placed me where I am and I will not move. And if I die, I die. But did you know some battles, Eleazar teaches us, are long-term battles. You know, we want the quick in and out, nobody gets hurt battle every time, right? Eleazar teaches us that some battles go on and on and on and on and on. I'm a little tired here. And on and on. But did you know it's when you run out of your resources and strength that you just begin to tap into God's resources and strength? And he keeps squeezing the handle of that sword. And God meets him on the battlefield. And it says that all of Israel fled, but he stood. Loved one, others may, you may not. Well, they're all running away right now. Make a choice. Others may, you may not. Did you know all of Israel fled? That's got to hit you just for a second and make your heart titter a little bit. They're all running away from the Philistines. I mean, this was the way it went. You know, they screamed, Israel ran, except for Eleazar. Eleazar said, I will die today, but I will not give an inch of ground. And you'd look over at David. That's all the company you need, is the king saying, I got your back. You got my back. It's a beautiful day to die. And he just kept fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. That's a Roman gladius, by the way. That's the sword that won the empire. It was sharpened to a point, razor sharp edges, and every wound was fatal. And you had to fight up and close. Every wound was fatal, and any contact with this thing would slop an ear, an eye, an arm, with very few pounds of pressure. The Bible says the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword that can discern between the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word is a living thing. And Eliezer fought with one of these, but we fight with the invincible Word of the living God. And I want you just to see a few more facts about this wonderful man of God. He is set by David in his place because David knows he will never budge. He will never move. And it says all of Israel fled. Loved one, it doesn't matter. The songwriter said, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. We make a stand and we move forward. Don't look back. Gaze at God. Glance in the rearview mirror at the enemy. But I want you to see something about Eliezer. And I want you to see something about David. David was a tender-hearted soldier priest. He was sensitive. He was tender. He wrote worship songs. But he could also bring 200 foreskins of Philistines for the dowry of Michal and throw them before Saul. This man was a soldier priest. And Adino the Esnite as well, tender, sensitive, obedient, but a man of war who would never give an inch. Eliezer himself, a soldier priest. And I'm calling to all of you soldier priests. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are called to have these twin realities at work in your life. You have to have a priestly eye, a priestly mind, a priestly hand, a priestly word that encourages, gives life, and refreshes, but you also have to realize that you are a soldier priest. And you have to fight against immeasurable odds and never give up. Never give up in indefinable fatigue, because it's just at that point when you're ready to collapse that God's strength comes up. Remember 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said, as soon as I'm beaten down unto death at the point of my lowest weakness, that's where his strength comes in, lifts me up, animates me, and we get the job done. So David's mighty men were made, and you right now, you've been shaped as a mighty woman of God, as a mighty man of God. He's been discipling you. He's been shaping you, and good for you. You're so balanced. You're so mature. And now, you need to be a discipler of others. You need to be a mentor to others. They came a mess at the cave of Adullam. They leave disciplined, mature, and amazing. The third mighty man, after Adino the Esnite and Eliezer, son of Dodo the Ahohite. You're going to say, yeah, I was reading the devotions on them just the other day. By the way, these men all took risks with their lives. And one more thing before we get to Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. He's our last guy. But I want you to see in the context of Eliezer. Eliezer teaches us also that mighty men can fight in the minority, unseen, and unhelped. Listen to the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4:16 through 18. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul said, I was alone, unseen, and God was my strength. Eliezer teaches us that when everyone leaves, it's incumbent upon us to be courageous because we're playing to an audience of one. We're playing to the applause of heaven. All I want to hear is Jesus' golf clap at the end of my life. I don't care what anybody else thinks. If he's pleased, it was a raging success. And I want you to see one more thing about Eliezer. He was tenderhearted, as I mentioned. He was a priest. He was a soldier. It says all of Israel fled when he and David stood alone in indefinable fatigue. But did you know at the end of the battle? It says they all came back to strip the bodies and get all the booty, all the money. Loved one, you have to have a heart that is a shepherding heart. You have to know who people are in your life. And by the way, I don't think Eliezer and David ever forgot who left and who came back. And I'm sure there was a little mark in the book by their name. But loved one, God wants you to be gracious, even though you're mighty, right? I'm courageous. I'm going to chew nails and kill everybody. No, Eliezer and David allowed those who ran away to come back. Now, they were going to want to come back and hook to your caboose and want to be called, I'm in with the mighty three. You're not in with the three. Oh, no. Like I said last week, love unwounded people, but never trust unwounded people. Love people without scars. Be adoring to them, but never trust them, because they will stab you in the back the minute you turn around. And so it is here. We need to be gracious. Let the folk come back and participate, but never, never, never trust them. Never trust. Love them. Help them grow. Come on, we all make mistakes. We all fall down. And Eliezer had enough of a mighty heart to say, okay, I'll let him come back. Okay. Isn't that sweet about him? As courageous as they are, with spears and swords, they're tender. They love God's people. And sheep are essentially dumb. Dumbest creatures possible to manage. So you have to be gracious. Bad idea. All right. Last guy. Are you ready? Shammah the son of Agee the Hararite. It says, next to him was Shammah the son of Agee the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at the place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them again. Trust the pattern. You know, one of the greatest things I ever learned was the distinction between a problem and a pattern. You know, I talked to guys and they said, well, Phyllis wasn't warm and Judy wasn't tender and Sally didn't have any money. And did you ever think the only common denominator in all your difficult relationships is you? See, you don't usually have a problem. You know, Sally's the problem, or Jimmy didn't provide for me, and Freddie wasn't affectionate, and Johnny just was never there, and Timmy just was ugly. And, hold on. You don't have a problem. You have a pattern. Did you know that? When you find people who are always blaming their family of origin, their parents, lack of opportunity, their first spouse, you see someone needing a problem to point. The blame game always involves, I have a problem. And the fact of the matter is, you have a pattern. Ooh, now that's worth the offering right there. Right there. By the way, you can go to drcraigjohnson.org and press the PayPal and bless us. Be a part of our financial life. You know, it would mean the world to me. But see, you have to realize, loved one, patterns are more prominent than problems in your life. Look in the mirror today and say, what's my pattern? There's no mystery to your history. So Shammah runs into the same deal. Now, he is a man who is placed in a lentil field, and the man who fights for a seemingly insignificant reward. We have Adino, who fought against immeasurable odds. We have Eliezer, son of Dodo the Ohohite, who fought in indefinable fatigue. And now Shammah, son of Agee the Hararite, he's fighting for an insignificant reward. He's in a lentil bean patch. And notice all of the people, trust the pattern, are leaving again. And he's probably running with them. But then he stops in the middle of the field. And by the way, Shammah's name means desolation. This is a guy you do not want to mess with. But you remember, God built men like George Patton for World War II. God built men to be a desolation to the enemies of truth and freedom. Don't you ever put them down. Well, they're not really spiritual. They're more spiritual than you are, most of them, in their ethics, their integrity, and their willingness, their stick-to-itiveness. They will not back down. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have just a handful of friends in your life that could meet the characteristics of these courageous ones? Doesn't matter what the odds are, they're standing with you. Doesn't matter how tired they are, they're standing with you. Doesn't matter how needy they are, they're standing with you. And then Shammah, he's in the field, and the Philistines come in, and the Philistines, notice, would always attack at harvest time. They'd let you plant the seed, thank you very much, and at harvest time they would come when all the people were vulnerable in the harvest field. Right? They've got their armor off because they're tending to the harvest, and right then, the Philistines would assault them because they were at their weakest. And they also knew, the Philistines knew, if we take all of their food, then they are going to continually be slaves dependent upon us. So here these nasty Philistines are in God's land. They don't belong to them. They're squatters. And they're coming in at harvest time to so decimate the food supply that the people of God will be in service, perpetuity, in perpetuity to them. And the scripture says, though, in Leviticus 25, verse 23, the land was given to Israel to use for the glory of God. It was not a land that belonged to the Philistines. Leviticus 25, 23 says the land was the Lord's land and not the land of enemies. And so Shammah knew, if I leave my post and I give an inch, I'm giving up all the food. By the way, the short-sighted ones who ran didn't realize some battles you have to see the long haul. While you're fighting. If I don't stand here in the lentil field, there aren't going to be any lentils. There's no beans this year. If there are no lentils, if there are no beans this year, there will be no food this year, and the people cannot eat this year, and they're going to starve. Sometimes, loved one, God set your king sets you in a field, a seemingly insignificant field. But you must realize nothing in the kingdom of God is insignificant. Despise not the day of small things. Everything God does, he does from a small thing. You were once an unfertilized ovum. Look at you now. Shammah had a heart to defend what looked insignificant. There's nothing insignificant in God's kingdom. There are only insignificant small thoughts that would neutralize little things. Shammah could have said, look, I'm running too. This is a bean field. There's going to be no reward in me standing here. Well, his king had put him there, and he's had a long view to go, if I don't fight here, if I don't take a stand here, I'm not willing to die here, the people are going to starve in a few months. Do you see? They were courageous soldier priests. They could fight with the spear, 800 men dead. But they had a heart and a tender sensitivity to the king and to the overarching view of the kingdom of God to say, I got to keep my ground here. I'm not going to minimize this ground. Loved ones, some of you are taking care of someone who you may think is an insignificant person, but they are not insignificant. You, whatever it is in your life right now that looks small, that looks insignificant, looks like you're only going to get an insignificant reward if you fight in that bean patch. You say, look at him. He's always wrong. He's fighting in a bean patch. My God, don't use your talents in a bean patch. Loved one, God will put men, women, boys, and girls in your life that look insignificant now. I was in a playground few months back, and I saw a father playing with his little daughter, and I went up to him and I said, sir, I said, could I just mention something? I said, I've been watching you play with your daughter, and I just want to remind you that you're not babysitting. You're shaping a soul. You're shaping a soul. You're not occupying little Sissy or little Junior for a short period of time, and it's like, God, it's almost over. I can go about what you're shaping a soul. There are no insignificant bean patches in the kingdom of God. It's just the person everyone has thrown aside that will become a prophet. And if you fight at that battlefield with a long priestly view to what it is, the quality of who you're dealing with, the person, the place, the thing, God will honor you. And the scripture again says, Shammah, like Eliezer, foresaw in the long picture that he was standing at a point that would bear much fruit in the future. Loved one, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Our eyes are on God, not the coronavirus. Jesus Christ is Lord, not the coronavirus. Appreciate your authenticity. Gaze at God, glance at the coronavirus. Pray towards heaven, row towards shore. Do what's responsible. But our primary gaze is on the God of heaven. By the way, if there's a God to act, there can be acts of God, and he might be able to protect you from the coronavirus. Though none go with me, yet I will follow. If everyone is going to be a fool and run, I'm going to stand. Because, you know, it's in the heat of the battle that God comes through. All these men lived. They didn't die in battle. They lived to fight another day because God wrought a great victory through their courageous obedience. So I want to pray for a fresh baptism upon you for courage. Your children need to see a courageous heart. Your friends need to look at you and see a courageous soul. Be of good courage because the people are watching. Be of good courage because you're watching your own behavior right now. Be of good courage. God is watching. Be of good courage. The enemies are watching. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for my precious brother watching today that you would wash him with a fresh baptism of courage. It's not his talent, his gift, his ability. It's not his own ingenuity, but it is the fact that the favor of God is upon him, that he can lift his spear in due course and lift his sword in due course, and he can stand and keep his ground and not give up an inch of it, Lord God. Give supernatural strength to my brother. Clothe him with might and dignity and confidence. And Lord, for my precious sister, Lord, she is a mighty woman of God, that you would anoint her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet right now in Jesus' name with new strategies of courage, that she will realize that her friends are watching, God's watching, the devil's watching, and she's watching. Breathe new life and strength into her flesh and her spirit, Lord God. And I pray for all of the precious children watching, that they would become, through mentoring, men and women of mighty courage. And we give you the glory, Lord, for the fact that we will be city set on a hill in this season. We will be lighthouses in the midst of darkness to bring your ships safely ashore. And we ask and pray for this in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. God bless you, courageous one. God bless you.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.